Jason, quick
you
question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
So I kind of just thought of this question on the spot. So it needs to be workshopped a little. I'm not going to lie.
You are the famous Matt.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Oh, snap! What's up with that? What's up with that?
It is Jim, Matt, and Molly. Molly's still out with babies. The show baby Matt Hamilton is here, though, so that's good. Primetime Lorsheim behind the glass. I am Jim Rutledge. We're thrilled to be joined by Jason Wilde. And Jason, we bring you on to talk Packers, but I know you're a Badger alum and you keep an eye on the team. We struck a chord with Badger fans listening. We're going to get back to their calls and text a little bit later. But the Badgers' leading receiver, at least in some categories, Will Pauling, has entered the transfer portal, along with a guy that they're very excited about 2 years ago, in C.J. Williams. I talked with Anthony Davis. That's going to air tomorrow on our digital show, The Jump Around. He's very upset with kind of the education side of things of college football has kind of gone by the wayside with the NIL dollars. So it seems to be like getting a college degree is the least important thing now. It's just about getting paid, which he understands, but also a college degree is important. What are your thoughts on the NIL and the transfer portal? Which one needs to be, I guess, for lack of a better word, fixed or restricted first?
What education side?
What's up with that?
Yeah, indeed. Good one, Matt. That was perfect.
What's up with that?
What's up with that? Yeah, I am a naive fool, as listeners to Wilde and Tausch realized, when the news that Tretch Kekahuna, after being courted by a myriad of other schools and tweeting out, if I recall, the logos of all the schools that had shown interest in him, returned to the Badgers. And I thought, oh, how great is this? This guy is like, I need a change. This isn't working. You know, the whole Phil Longo experiment. I'm not going to hang around and wait to see who the offensive coordinator is going to be. I'm going to get a fresh start somewhere else. And then, you know, they hire Jeff Grimes, and here's little old naive Jason Wilde thinking, how great is that? You know, they get a new offensive coordinator. He really likes what he's hearing. And Tretch comes back. And then Tausch is like, you're an imbecile. This is he got more money from the UW to stay. That's what happened here. And I'm like, really? That's how this works?
Mm-hmm.
So that bothers me, not just because I'm an imbecile, but more importantly, I don't think that this should be a tool that you are able to manipulate to just increase your price tag at your current school. And look, I have said from the very beginning that with the billions of dollars that college athletics takes in, that the players deserve more than just an education and free room and board. Having been at UW in the early 90s and being, you know, friends with Tracy Webster and I almost called them JerMichael Finley, Michael Finley, and that crowd, Howard Moore, those guys, I mean, they struggled to scrape together money for pizza.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you know, again, whether or not other schools back then were paying guys under the table and whether UW did any of that, I have no idea. All I know is that the reality is it was expensive to get Pizza Pit pizza on campus for them back in like 1993. Mm-hmm. And my point is that I'm glad that they're getting a cut of the pie in some way, shape, or form. But this needs to become like the NFL now and the NBA. There needs to be contracts. When you get to the end of your contract, like, hey, you get recruited, I want to sign a 3-year deal. That way I've got my options open for my senior season if I want to enter the transfer portal. But they don't have unfettered free agency where you could just decide, all right, I'm going to declare myself a free agent now after the season. I mean, what's the backup quarterback at Penn State? They're playing in the 12-team playoff, and he doesn't want to screw himself in the portal, so he's leaving now. Like, what are we doing here? So I hate this. And look, again, I want these guys to take care of themselves. I just saw Bart Lundy, the basketball coach at UW-Milwaukee. Somebody was tweeting at him about this really good player that they have and how next year he'll be gone in the transfer portal with NIL. And Bart Lundy said, look, this kid, his name is Jamichael, came from, you know, humble means. He's earned everything, including the opportunity to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all on board with that, but it cannot be without structure. And the idea of declaring yourself a free agent and then, oh, the school found a couple more deep-pocketed donors to throw a couple more $1,000 my way, now I'll stay. This can't be the case. That I have a major problem with. And I want to see them treat it more like a pro league. They've got one of the greatest coaches in pro sports history now coaching in college, so let's start treating it like the pros, because that's how he's going to do it. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I'm asking this other question here, and Matt, just cover your ears. It's going to be a trigger warning for you. But the Aaron Rodgers documentary came out, and it's a documentary about Aaron Rodgers where he has a giant platform.
About Aaron Rodgers,
yes.
Isn't it? Like,
yes.
He's in some way involved, right?
Yes. And then Ryan Clark rightfully called out Aaron Rodgers for being a hypocrite because he called ESPN a personality-driven medium, which Aaron Rodgers goes on to push his personality and sell his product. But then today, he went on a some sort of tirade on the Pat McAfee show talking about how he doesn't care, but says, before you rip me, state your name, your accolades, your pronouns, your vax status. That's all I care about. But understand that if you're highly vaccinated, whatever you say, I don't give two bleeps about it. Like, what happened to him that he's now just become Twitter personified as a quarterback for the Jets? Like, I mean, seriously, you knew him for a while. His documentary, and I almost want to call it a mockumentary, is incredibly self-serving. Yeah. And now he's just basically, making a fool of himself. I don't care. Well, he screams about I don't care on his show, responding to something he doesn't care about. Like, what broke him? Like, what's your look at this? Because it's insane. Like, I kind of moved on past him until I saw this back to back today, and I'm like, I'm sorry, this has to be addressed. This is just insane. He's a starting quarterback for the Jets, and he's just lost his mind.
Yeah, there's a lot there, Jim.
Yeah.
I know our teammate Maddie Hayes asked me about Enigma when I was in the group of offices, One Call That's All Studios today in Milwaukee for just a little short social media thing. And, you know, it's a lot more, for me anyway, a lot more complicated.
Yeah.
We obviously spent 4 years doing the radio show, but I covered every snap of his Packers career. I used to do an annual thing with Hausch and I, and there's a connection there, right? I mean, you know, back when we were doing the radio show, the girls would bake him a birthday cake every year for the week that we were doing the show. They'd bring it to Lambeau, and we'd have balloons. I mean, I know I'm not supposed to say this, but he and I were friends. And to some degree, I think we still are. But, you know, like is often the case in friendships, there are times where you don't see eye to eye. And, you know, I made no secret of it. Like, Paul is going through breast cancer and chemo during the pandemic. And, you know, he's talking about his opinion on vaccines and everything else. And I just thought, you know, I feel like he has strayed a little bit from thinking about other people. And, you know, when we were, you know, when he was doing stuff for the Mac Fund, like he was much more in, it felt like anyway, and maybe he does things behind the scenes still that I don't know about, but it felt like he was more about others than himself, which differentiated him from Favre. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And now, you know, these are the types of things that give people ammunition to say, well, he's just like Favre, you know, all about himself. And you know, I think my greatest issue is that I feel like he has become tone deaf to what the people that buy his jersey and cheered for him every game at Lambeau. And I feel like he's forgotten that they live in a different world than he lives in. And he used to live in that world like a normal guy whose parents struggled to make ends meet when his dad went back to school and everything else. But, like, I'll give you an example, like the COVID stuff. You know, again, he's entitled to his opinion. I don't agree with it, but when your running back loses his father to COVID, which is what happened with Aaron Jones, who was extremely close to his dad, and, you know, you're talking about comorbidities and all the other stuff that he was talking about then, yeah, not all of us have the financial means to have a chef prepare us a healthy meal every meal of the day, right? I don't. And with the girls' activities, you know, I'm eating things that are probably not the healthiest choice because we're on the run. So my frustrations, there are some of them. I would just say this, and it takes me a lot to give up on people. I don't know if he'll come around or if he's just gone a bridge far, and it'll be impossible to reel him back into closer to being the guy he was. I would just say this. I always prided myself on being someone who could tell him what I thought, and I was not a sycophant to him. Despite what maybe some beat writers may have thought at the time, I could speak my mind to him, and we had a really respectful, and we went at it on things that we disagreed on. But I don't. The question is, I don't even know if I want to watch it.
I'm not
like,
going to.
I feel
to.
Like it's going to bother me so much that I, and yet I also feel obligated to watch it. So I'm not sure what to do.
I'll watch it and give you the cliff notes, Jason.
seriously, I would. Yeah. I've already had a couple people who've watched. Apparently, in the third episode, there's a clip from the radio show that they play.
Well, now I kind of want to watch it. Yeah.
One of our old teammates, Josh Goldberg, sent me a text that said it's about 15 to 20 minutes in, and I resisted the urge to fast forward 15 to 20 minutes in just to see the clip because I don't know. I had somebody else text me, one of the young TV guys up here who was in middle school when we started doing the radio show, which made me feel old, but Kyle Malzahn, and he told me that, I said, do I come off as a doofus? He said, no, you come off great. So, hey, at least I got that going for me, which is nice.
That is nice. I normally come off as a doofus on the show. So
you do.
I'm going to try, though.
You own it.
Yeah, I definitely do. So if you can't beat them, join them, as I say. I'm a nut. So, Jason, getting into the actual Packers now, I'm kind of wondering because this is the vibe I'm getting. So I heard a lot of people thinking the Seahawks are going to be a pretty good test. I think Strofe thought the Seahawks were going to win. I know Wooly thought the Seahawks were going to win. Now that the Packers won and in dominating fashion, it kind of seems like a little bit of a nothing burger. Like, did this game tip the scales for you at all, or do the Packers remain net neutral in your eyes?
Yeah, Matt, that's a really good question because I think what we have seen was it's this great measuring stick game. We're going to find out. We're going to know more about these guys after it's over. And then when they, you know, kicked the Seahawks' ass, suddenly now it wasn't, well, I mean, you know, they were playing without their starting quarterback and they lost their starting center early in the game. And maybe the Seahawks are a fraud, like Jesse Nelson said. Both things could be true, right? Mm-hmm. Like all those things about the Seahawks can be true, and it can still be an important game where we got a better idea about what the Packers are. I did think that I do feel like Packers fans are starting to hold the Packers to an impossible standard. Like they come out and get out to a 14-0 lead. They give the ball to Josh Jacobs 9 out of the 10 plays. 7 runs, 2 passes for him. The only other person to even gain a yard on the drive was Jordan Love on a 4-yard scramble to the 1. Jacobs has scored 9 touchdowns in the last 5 games. Jordan Love hasn't thrown an interception in 4 games. He's had a passer rating over 100 in all of these games. I have a hard time looking at their performance and saying it doesn't mean anything because Seattle stinks too. At some point, you got to say, okay, well, even if they're not a great team, it's still meaningful. But what I was surprised by was then it was like, well, they didn't run the ball very well in the second half. They had those empty possessions. They scored 30. They ended up scoring 30 points again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my argument, and I'd be curious if you guys will join my club, as Homer likes to say, but my argument would be that there are two teams in the NFC, in my opinion, that are the top echelon. It would be the Eagles and the Lions. And I don't know what to make of the Lions now with all their injuries, now losing Montgomery and Davis, the corner. I mean, this puts the 2010 Packers team to shame in terms of the number of guys. They got like 21 guys now or more on injured reserve. But those are the two teams that I think are tier one. Then tier like 2A are the Vikings. And then I feel like tier 2B is Green Bay, the Rams, the Buccaneers, the Commanders. And the Packers, I think, are at the top of tier 2B. So could a team from tier 2B win the Super Bowl? They could. Is it likely to happen? No, I don't think so. Like, I understand that there have been some teams, and I had some Packers fans in our YouTube chat getting mad at me like I was, you know, Debbie Downer for saying this. But, like, you know, 116 teams have played in the Super Bowl. And I know that they, you know, have expanded the playoffs at different points. So there have been more wild card teams. There are more divisions now, et cetera, et cetera. But the fact of the matter is that only two teams have won three teams have won three straight road games to get to a Super Bowl. The Steelers in 05, the Packers in 10, and I think the Giants in either 11 or 7, whichever one that was. One of their two Super Bowls, they did it too. And that's the list. And so the idea of the Packers going and beating, say, the Rams or the Buccaneers in the first round, then going and beating the Vikings, the Eagles, or the Lions in the divisional round, and then beating one of those three teams in the championship game to go to the Super Bowl, that seems like an awfully tiny needle to thread there to win all three of those games. But I'm not ruling it out. I just think it's unlikely. So if we're using that as our baseline of how good this team is, then I think we look at the Seattle game and go, hey, this team's a good team. Is it a great team? Probably not. Maybe, but probably not.
I'm with you. I honestly want to see this Minnesota Bay game because I'm starting to think Minnesota's more real than maybe we are.
Me too.
Acknowledging.
Me too.
Brian Flores is a legitimately excellent defensive coordinator. Sam Darnold, when you have a running game, is a more than capable enough quarterback. They have a ton of weapons. Their coach looks like an up-and-coming version of LaFleur. I think what we do here, especially Packers fans, is we just apply all the past baggage on Minnesota. But that doesn't – last year's team, like the Packers went to Minnesota and beat the Vikings without Kirk Cousins. The Vikings are in the playoffs if Kirk Cousins finishes the season, in my opinion, not the Packers. So then we're talking about a team –
totally agree.
Then we're talking about a team that's coming off a playoff berth, and then we're viewing the Vikings the way that the Packers are viewed right now. Like, there's a case to be made the Vikings are the second-best team with all the injuries with Detroit, that it's Philly and Minnesota, and then Detroit's the team down there with Green Bay.
Yeah, I think you made all very sensible points, and I think you're right. We just don't want to think of the – I mean, it's all Sam Darnold's fault, right? Like, if his name was Sam Rutledge – or Sam Hamilton, Sam Ham, they could nickname
name.
But if he didn't have any of the baggage of having been drafted high by the Jets and it not working out, and he was just some random quarterback that we'd never heard of, if he was like the 2024 version of Kurt Warner, right? Like out of the, because he was the backup, right? He was supposed to be the backup to J.J. McCarthy, essentially. So out of nowhere, from the cornfields of Iowa or from the grocery store in Iowa and playing for the Barnstormers to being the quarterback of the Vikings this year, he'd be the best story in football.
Yep.
But because his name's Sam Darnold, and I can't remember who said this. It might have been Kyle Brandt, I think, might have said it, that more often than not, teams fail quarterbacks quarterbacks don't fail teams.
Yep.
And I would argue that the Jets have done a pretty good job of proving that point over and over again.
Yeah, because you could flip this and say Sam Darnold has the pedigree to be a great quarterback. He was viewed as the top prospect. And honestly, if you look back with the Jets, his first 2 years, he really wasn't that bad when you account for he started as a rookie.
Right.
And so, I mean, he needed a lot of growth. But you took an extremely talented guy and put him in the most QB-friendly offense in the NFL, and you gave him a running game. And you gave him a lot of talent.
Yeah.
So we'll find.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I'm really looking forward to that game.
Me too.
I'm planning on going and covering it in person, and I'm flabbergasted that it's staying as a noon game.
Yes.
I mean, I can't believe. But beyond that, I look at this team and say, Kevin O'Connell is the real deal, and I'm not saying that the two of you knuckleheads could go play quarterback for them, obviously, because that would be ridiculous.
Right.
But if you've got two guys like Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson on the outside, I think you got a pretty good chance of, if you can get the ball to them, they're going to be successful, even if you're not a great quarterback.
Thank you, Jason. Yeah. That is awesome stuff.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
That is Jason Wilde. We are going to get to what Matt missed and a couple other things as the show continues. But let me tell you about Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. That's where winners go. Go be a winner. Millions of dollars are won every single weekend at Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN Madison on YouTube, and Wisconsin On Demand.